Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, welcoming back, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us, Mel.
Good to be here.
And we're joined by the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for being here, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. We kick things off the way we like to with our good friend, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. Happy summer, it feels like. What the heck?
Yeah, right? It really does. Yeah. I imagine this is going to be a really short segment, Brittany. It's really nice out.
You know, we've actually got some little bit of activity, hopefully. Maybe a few sprinkles are possible this afternoon. High temperatures will hit those low 80s. A little bit more mugginess starting to seep in today, too, with those winds out of the southeast. And then tomorrow, it's going to be humid, partly sunny, slightly cooler, actually highs in the upper 70s with more scattered showers, possibly a storm in the afternoon, and then we're looking at some severe thunderstorms moving in on Thursday, but of course that very high fire danger is still a threat today, and the rain is much needed, so hopefully after Thursday with cooler temperatures this weekend, we won't have to worry about that anymore.
Not bad. Okay, we can handle that. It is good to
know.
We need
the rain, so it's good.
Yeah, Brittany, did you happen to see the article about what happened in Western Australia? There was a illuminating light that came out, a bright green fireball in the sky. And their meteorologists over there and their astronomers are saying that it was a meteor. It was one heck of a meteor, actually.
Oh, that is so cool. Have you ever seen one like that?
Not anything like other than in the videos like of this and stuff. But it happened on Mother's Day. And they were saying that it was just really impressive. Something a little bit different than we've seen before.
That is so cool. I love that. Oh, my gosh. I'm glad no one was hurt from it. And it lit up the sky a pretty green.
Yeah, it really did. It's worth checking out. Did you get a chance to check that out? You, everybody,
I'm
go ahead and look at that
have
one.
To. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the update. We'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a good day.
Thanks, Brittany.
Thank you, Brittany. Best in the business right there, friend Brittany Merlot joining us every morning in this time slot. I thought that was an interesting thing. Just the light, in the way at night when those kind of things illuminate the whole sky. It's just really interesting.
That is very interesting.
We got some more interesting stuff on the way for you, everybody. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner. We're also going to get into a ER doctor said this six-word phrase is a huge red flag for doctors.
Oh,
we will get into that.
So what not to say to your doctor. Got it?
Possibly. Five foods even chefs won't make from scratch. I got that one for you as well. And then we'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour with some entertainment news. Got Madonna in there. The NBC lineup. They've made some changes there. And a really cool story about a stunt woman from the Final Destination movie who set a world record. I want to get into all of that along with some local theater. And in the 10 o'clock hour, we will also get into this at-home test to check your brain health. And I'm going to take it. Melissa, if you want to, too, you can. But I'm going to take it. Okay. And we'll see how it goes. Also get you caught up on our schedule. Some great stuff going on in our area. All of that. Looking forward to it. But I wanted to start off here with this very interesting story. A woman in Northern Ireland named Catherine Stewart just got married. And her wedding party was slightly bigger than most. She ended up with 95 bridesmaids.
Whoa. What? Why?
She said she started with 7 or 8, which is where most weddings top out.
But that's still a lot.
Yeah. But she runs a dance school and eventually decided to just include all of her dancers.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Her new husband, Jack, did not follow suit. She had 95 bridesmaids. He had 8 groomsmen.
8?
You know, to be fair, men of a certain age, and I am of that age, we don't have 95 friends. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know many, but no, maybe that's more. It might just be me personally. But
But that's also not, you know, her friends. Those are her students.
Right.
A little different. If you're a teacher, you have students, so you know you could have them as your groomsmen.
I don't know if I know 95 people.
Okay, I'm still impressed that he had. You said 8.
Yeah.
Groomsmen? Yeah, yeah. I'm still impressed with that number, honestly.
That's pretty good, yeah. The entire wedding was 250 people, and 103 of them were in the wedding party. So over 40% of the guests at their wedding were also in the wedding.
And I'll bet you they had a really impressive dance number.
Yeah, some of the video and some of the pictures of it seem to be, yeah. It's almost one of those things where you don't want to go out on the dance floor after that. Like, I don't want to follow that. I don't know. All of them walked down the aisle, but Catherine said it was went faster than you'd think. Photos weren't a problem either because they're dancers who, quote, know how to get information and organize themselves very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, actually, if you were going to have 95 people, these are the perfect people to probably have.
Those are the people to have. Yeah. Yep. Dance students or theater people. Both are able to do those things.
Now, a lot of our longtime listeners out there know we use this opening monologue oftentimes to get into world records. And 95 bridesmaids, that seems like a record. That seems pretty high.
It seems like it should be.
But it is not.
Really?
An American woman named Tina Ackles still wears the crown. She got married in Tampa, Florida in 2015 with 168 bridesmaids.
Oofta.
USA. USA.
Again, my question is, why?
Yeah. Now, I have no idea what I'm talking about, but the little bit that I have been around wedding planning and everything, I have heard it difficult for women sometimes to choose, who do I have all my friends? And you know, which ones I do, which ones I don't have standing up as bridesmaids. Maybe it was that difficult that you just really couldn't decide. You know what? Everybody's getting it.
That seems like a really high number, though, man.
Yeah, I'm looking at this article of Miss Ackles, who broke that record back in 2015, and she is, there's nothing really. Okay, so she is. She was a American. Tina is a member of the American Businesswomen's Association. She joined back in 1999. Quote, over the years, several of my ABWA sisters said that they wanted to be bridesmaids when we finally got married. Mm-hmm. And this just, so she was there from 99 to 2015. So a good six years. She's collecting names over and over and over. And I guess she just didn't want to say no to anybody.
That's a lot.
I'm sorry. We've got listeners over in Florida. I take that. You always take this with a grain of salt. We appreciate you. Mm-hmm. If you gave me, I could have got this in three guesses that this took place in Florida. Easily.
Well, it would have been your first guess.
Probably would have been. That's a fun story. I was talking with Seth a little bit about this off air. I think as a if I were a celebrity, I don't think that there's anything that I would really want to take advantage of or anything being famous, except the idea of being able to crash weddings. Like, well, the way Bill Murray or Tom Hanks will do these things just out of the blue. Keanu Reeves does this and stuff where they just like weddings. So they'll just show up. I've heard a little bit of some people. I've never heard anybody who's actually been a part of these weddings complain. But I've heard some people say, well, the celebrity shows up, they're going to take away from the special
the bride
day
and the groom.
Yeah.
In some ways, maybe.
I also feel like that's quite a story. To show up.
Yeah. I don't even remember the name. Jack Black crashed my wedding.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I feel like that's worth it. I feel like that's okay. That is one thing, if I were famous, I would definitely be doing. I just randomly showing up at bar mitzvahs and weddings and just, you know, hey, how's it going? I heard this is an open bar. It would be fun.
And, you know, any excuse to party.
Yeah, yeah, that does, it seems like a good, yeah, it seems like another one of those reasons to do it for sure. I got this one that I want more time with this, so we'll get into it a little bit. For now, we'll take our first time out of the show. We'll come back, we'll do some celebrating with our friends over at El Cafe, who are open for the week.
Hey, hey.
Get on over there, everybody. We'll talk more about that in a moment. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning at WFHR. You heard Pitbull. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day, we get to talk about you and talk about our great friends over at El Cafe. Treat yourself. Get on over there, 221 Market Avenue, beautiful Port Edwards. They're open.
That's right. And they have fresh strawberry pie. I want that.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
And strawberry cheesecake. Oh, man.
Ooh, strawberry. Okay, change my mind.
And,
that one.
And rhubarb crumb.
I like crumb pies.
And strawberry rhubarb pie. That's probably one of my all-time favorites.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mental really note good. On that. There's not a bad choice. There's not a bad choice. Just be willing to be bendable, you know, when you get there and you had something in mind that you wanted.
You're going to be indecisive because there's too many good things to choose from. Their specials, they have a Hawaiian omelet today.
Ooh.
So if you don't like ham and pineapple on pizza, maybe you like it in an omelet with mozzarella cheese.
A shout out to the whole staff of El Cafe. Certainly, Fidel and the amazing work he does over there. That staff, whether it's the cooks and the great food that they make, or that waiting staff that really has to wait on people because they just sit there forever. I'm sorry, I'll make a decision in a moment. Just give me one more second. I can't make a decision. There's so many good things there.
And their classic Eggs Benedict is fabulous also.
Great people.
Which is also a special this week.
Yeah. Check it out, everybody. Head on over to 221 Market Avenue, beautiful Port Edwards. Buy local, support local, support those that support this community. Appreciate our friends over there. Great people. Gotta get that death by chocolate. I'm really going to try that.
You're just dying for it.
I really am. We encourage you to get us your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We love celebrating with you, especially when you're able to join us live on the air. It's a lot of fun. You can email us if that's easier, info@WFHR.com. You can always direct message us on either of our Facebook pages, WIRI or WFHR. We'll see them either way. And, of course, you can call up.
That's right. You can call 715-424-2600 and talk with us live on air. You can also use the Civic Media app, which is free. Just download it, and then you hit the button once or twice. There's, like, steps, but it's easy. It's a lot easier than remembering a number. And you can also text us through that app.
Yeah. Any way you need to get in touch with us, everybody, we appreciate it. Encourage you to do so. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at our list for today, our local celebrities, and we got a possible three qualifiers, and one through three, Melissa.
Let's go with two.
Hey, all right, gives us that one, so we can get right into it. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Dr. Richard Clausen.
Happy birthday, Dr. Richard.
Enjoy your day, sir. Hope it's a good one for you. Enjoy. Thank you very much to whoever got us that birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And these next two have a little bit of a tie into each other. First up, very happy birthday to Dale Vilbaum.
Happy birthday, Dale.
Enjoy the day, sir. Wishing you a good one. And our qualifiers celebrating their 25th anniversary, their silver anniversary, Brian and Wendy Young. And Wendy's father is Dale.
Oh, they got married on her dad's birthday. Oh, that's cute.
I wonder if that was planned. I wonder, or it feels like one of those things that would just kind of like happen, like almost coincidental. And at the same time, you know, I could see, you know, doing it on purpose.
Well, you know, they're getting married in May and this was the weekend available. Oh, it's also Dad's birthday on Saturday. All right, here we go.
It's a win-win, and you're never going to forget the date. You're never going to forget the day that way. Yeah, either you're never going to forget.
Dad will always remember your anniversary.
Yes, yes. That worked out for Dad really good. That was very nice of them to do that for Dad. Happy 25th, you two. Enjoy.
That's awesome.
Happy silver anniversary and your qualifiers today.
Yeah, happy anniversary.
Now, I always like to encourage people when they are qualified to brag to friends, strangers, animals. I would specifically recommend to Brian and Wendy to brag to Dale. They definitely would.
Yep, call your dad up and brag.
And thank you again, everybody. This is genuinely one of our favorite parts of the day. We love doing this. So thanks for getting us those birthdays and anniversaries. Yeah. Who do you share your birthdays with? Well, let's take a look at that list. Robert Pattinson is 39 today.
Really?
Twilight and a lot of other great films as well. And currently, the most current Batman.
Oh.
One of the greatest draws in movie history. Like, just period. Like, just an incredible jaw that man has.
Yeah, he's very chiseled.
Good actor. Good. Like, I missed a mark on him, and I like to apologize whenever I have a chance, because I wasn't into the Twilight stuff. I was dating at the time, so of course I seen scenes from it and everything. But I never really watched his acting, and I didn't put a lot to it. I saw him in The Lighthouse with William Dafoe, and he hung with William Dafoe so well. Then I see him in a couple of other movies, and I'm like, man, this guy can do it. Like, he's good. He's a very, very talented actor. He's really good. And by all rights, seems to be one of those people that people really enjoy working with, too. The Twilight stuff was a very different story, with not just for him, but with the way a lot of people were treated during the filming of that those movies and everything. Let's see here. Samantha Morton is 48. Alpha on The Walking Dead. She is also in Hulu's Harlots and a bunch of other stuff. Samantha Morton's been around a long time. She's very good at what she does.
Oh, yeah, I think I know her. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, she's really good. I like her
a lot. I see her in something and I get excited. I just like her work a lot. You know, what actor gives everything they got kind. So is Ewan Rowan, and I always mispronounce his name, and I apologize, but you'd know him if you saw him. 40 years old for him. Ramsay Snow in Game of Thrones, probably the most popular character he's played, but great character actor. Really good, very talented English character, or Irish character actor. Darius Rucker is 59. Of course, made famous from Hootie and the Blowfish, but has had an incredible solo career. Again, we were celebrating his birthday. We played Wagon Wheel on the Sunrise Show today over on 105.5, Seth and I, and we're talking about it. He's from South Carolina, so country music, you know, bluegrass, that's really his thing. That's what he grew up with. But he's been doing the solo act and the country thing for so long now, it's getting to a point where he's done that longer than he was Hootie and the Blowfish. Which is interesting to think of his legacy or whatever kind of being known more as a solo artist. That would be interesting if that's how that works out.
Yeah, it would be.
And as Seth was saying, apparently him and Hootie and the Blowfish still tour together and stuff.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Stephen Colbert is 61, genius comedian behind The Late Show. Worked, of course, on The Daily Show for a long time. It's where he got his big break, spinning that into the Colbert Report, which, of course, spun into him doing The Late Show.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to do when I was at Second City was going to the archives and looking at the early sketches of Stephen Carell and Steve Colbert when they would work together. And they both got their break together at the same time on The Daily Show, and they would do their Stephen and Stephen sketches on there. Well, I saw the early runnings of those, and man, they're just so good and so fearless. And Stephen Colbert comes from a really giant family and had a lot of hang-ups about his looks in some of these things. To see where he is now is really impressive. Like, you talk about somebody that really made his own way and did it on his own merits and all those things to get to where he is now, to be, you know, the really the co-host following Letterman. That's quite impressive, and a lot of successful work over his career. Very funny a writer too. Very funny writer.
He's got a you know, epic sense of timing.
Yes.
Comedic timing, and just very smart man.
Jimmy Kimmel is well liked and everything, but it's pretty well known in the industry. Nobody loves, as far as doing the talk show circuit, most people will have The Late Show as their last interview, so because it's so fun and they love working with Stephen Colbert. It's also noteworthy too. Two big things about him on doing The Late Show. One, so for a long time, whether it was Carson or Letterman, they would have it, oh, you're going to do Joan Rivers' show? Oh, you're going to do Conan's show? Well, that person's never allowed on my show if they do their show. And so they would do this thing, and it was really tacky, I think.
Yeah.
It was the way the industry was back in the day, and I'm not judging these people, but it's the one mark that these two gentlemen that I really look up to have on them. Where Stephen Colbert is the exact opposite. Doesn't care, he'll have you on, and he wants to make sure that you want to come back. I respect and I like the way that he runs that show.
Well, that's much more admirable than let's be clicky. If you come on my show, you can't go on anybody else's. That's dumb.
Yeah, so. I will die on this hill. The greatest rebounder in basketball history, Dennis Rodman, is 64 today. Dennis Rodman, obviously, we could spend hours talking about him off the court and all that stuff, and that's somebody else's, you know, story to talk about. I just talking about him as the basketball player and a guy who literally came from nothing. You read one paragraph of Dennis Rodman's upbringing, and it'll make you cry. There's no way that we should know the name Dennis Rodman. There's no world. This is the only parallel universe where Dennis Rodman probably made it. You talk about coming from nothing. He truly did. He's got a very like almost Dolly Parton like background, and getting a chance to be on multiple championship winning teams, whether it's the Detroit Pistons or the Chicago Bulls, and knew right away, okay, I can't shoot, I can't do certain things, but I am tall, I am lanky, and I can rebound. And Dennis Rodman would spend hours watching players, and when they would miss shots, where the ball would ricochet and where it would land, and he would be,
so he could anticipate it.
Yeah, and just incredible the way his like sixth sense for this, that I've never seen anything like it since. There's been some incredible rebounders and guys that are biggest trees, way bigger than Dennis Rodman, and they could not even get close to the rebounding and out hustle him in rebounding. Just focusing on him as the basketball player, as big of a Bulls fan as I am, as much as I love Michael Jordan and everything, I don't think they win those other championships without him. I think he was that integral to those teams.
I just remember the crazy colors in his hair.
Oh yeah, yeah, the wild man. Yeah, off the court, a whole other story. Yeah. Alan Ball is 68, a great TV creator, 6 feet Under, True Blood, also won the Best Original Screenplay Oscar for American Beauty. Really good writer, really good creative.
Yeah, a couple of those. I watched most of True Blood.
Yeah, I saw the first couple episodes and couldn't keep up with it. I didn't have HBO at the time, but I saw every single episode of 6 feet Under. It's one of the best shows I've ever seen, and I really think it has the greatest series finale I've ever seen. The show is all about a family that runs a mortician place, and it's got a lot of dark comedy in it and everything. And not, without spoiling anything, the last episode, it gives you every main character, and it kind of gives you a speed up of the rest of their life. And I've never seen anything more creative like done with a series finale than giving you a like finality and a wrap up of every character. It was really well written, really well done.
Well, in True Blood, I also didn't have HBO, but a friend had the DVDs, and she let me borrow them. But once I got to the season that was focused on like witches, it got too scary for me, and I stopped.
Yeah, yeah. Man, the days of Bowering DVDs. Oh, God, I remember that. Yes. How many shows I got to see and movies I got to see because of friends doing that. The legend, the genius, Stevie Wonder is 75.
Wow.
Man. Won 25 Grammys, most ever by a male solo artist. Just incredible artist that I have a hard time believing anybody out there listening, there's not at least one Stevie Wonder song you don't like. Like, there's got to be at least one you like. I wouldn't say that Stevie's my top five favorite artists of all time, but it doesn't matter what mood I'm in. If there's a certain Stevie Wonder song comes on, it gets me grooving. It gets me. I hear Superstition. I hear Boogie Woman, certain songs. I can't help myself. I literally can't help myself. I look at my body. I'm like, what are you doing? We're sad right now. Why are you bopping your head? It's an incredible artist. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Harvey Keitel is 86. Wonderful actor. Just actor. I don't want to say character actor. Just incredible actor. Pulp Fiction, Taxi Driver, Reservoir Dogs. Just great. And then some people no longer with us. And man, two greats here. Richie Valens, born on this day in 1941, in the Chicano Hall of Fame, gave us La Bamba. La Bamba is a classic.
La Bamba.
Such a beautiful, I love the song. Never have gotten tired of it. But if you're looking for a great way of honoring Richie Valens, I think one of them is Sleepwalk. His instrumental, it really gives you a chance to understand that he was he had the opportunity to be one of our better guitar players, along with being a great solo artist and one of the first Latino artists out there, in the rock era and everything. Certainly, you don't need me to tell you know what happened. Passed away at the age of 17 in the 17. Horrible plane crash.
Oh my goodness. I didn't realize it was so young.
Yeah, 17. That's awful. Yeah. One of my favorite movies is La Bamba. I part of it is nostalgia. I wanted to see Inner Space. Me and my cousin Lisa wanted to see Inner Space with Martin Short. And my uncle Rich, Lisa's dad, he was Mezzanatos. He was a native and Mexican. And I didn't say that right, but it was important to him that we saw La Bamba. And we're like, we don't want to see this movie. We're little kids. We don't and we were locked in. That movie had us. It was little kids. Loved it.
Wow.
One of the greatest fighters of all time, boxing legend Joe Louis, born on this day in 1914, and the great, the wonderful B. Arthur, born on this day in 1922. Just incredible, B. Arthur's career, not only as a stand-up comedian, which she was. I don't know if everybody knows that or not, but she was. It's really where she got her start, was doing stand-up comedy. And of course, you know, famous for, you know, most of us, our generation, a lot of people, the Golden Girls, and the incredible comedic timing and deadpan and delivery. The delivery of Bea Arthur is legendary.
But she was kind of the dry, deadpan humor, right?
Yes. Yeah. She everybody had their bit and their part that they leaned into and they played in that show, like you do in TV sitcoms. That's what sitcoms were made of for many years. Her role, every one of them played it perfectly. Hers was so difficult to do, but they had the perfect actor to do it and Bea Arthur. But Maude should be mentioned as well. Maude was really, I don't know if that was her big break, but I would say it was. And of all the groundbreaking TV in TV history, Maude is in the top three. The subject matter that they talked about on that show, the fact that it was a leading woman on the show, that it was Bea Arthur in particular. There are so many things about that show that are not talked about that are, they are the definition of trailblazing.
I never saw it, and
there was a lot of it that hearing her in interviews and stuff, she had a hard time after that getting some work because of it. I wouldn't say she was blackballed, but close to it. So it makes the success of Golden Girls and the end of her career that much more rewarding, I think.
Wow. It had 22 episodes that's season one.
Yeah.
Did it have more than one season?
I believe so. I want to say it did. I thought so. It was before my time, but I do know my mom talking about it and just hearing about it and seeing episodes, certainly certain specific episodes, going back and watching them. We will take our first time out, big time out, with our news, sports, and entertainment break. We'll take care of our partners, and we'll come back. And what is this? A six-word phrase that is a huge red flag for doctors. Get into that when we get back on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Melissa and James hanging out with you on a Tuesday. We hope the day is starting good for you out there. I'm trying to get used to the new time slot here. I feel like I'm either behind an hour or ahead an hour, and I'm trying to get the timing down.
Well, you've had a lot of years to get used to the other, so it'll be all right.
We'll get in the swing of things.
One day at a time.
This is an interesting one, and again, we're going to Florida. An ER doctor in Jacksonville, Florida, is trending after he revealed the six-word phrase he sees as a huge red flag, specifically when a guy says it. Whenever he hears it, he assumes something is very serious. Very serious is going on with the man's health, until proven otherwise, he believes.
Okay.
So what's the phrase? The six words that worry him the most are, "My wife made me come in." It's a red flag because men are more likely to ignore health issues or tough it out instead of seeing a doctor. So if your wife made you come in, there's a good chance of a real health issue there. Just real quick note, guys, I mean, really, guys, that's it. That's all I got. Just like, I mean, and I'm calling myself out on this too. I swear to God, I am one of the worst in the world at this. So please don't think I'm pointing the finger. Three are pointing right back at me, rightfully so. But just really, guys, we gotta. I mean, just, I don't know. Other doctors replied in the comments with more phrases they see as red flags, and there's a similar one for women. It's a red flag if she says anything like, "I don't want to waste your time with this, but."
Yeah.
The complete article is at the dailymail.com if you want to check it out, everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of layers to this one, I feel like.
There are, and both of them have similarities between them, because a woman doesn't want to waste somebody's time with what she thinks is a trivial problem, and a man doesn't want to waste his time with what he thinks is a trivial problem.
Yeah.
And both of those could be serious health problems. You know, things wrong with your health that need to be taken care of, and you're not wasting anybody's time, including your own.
Both have their place, you know, in their understanding. They both have their, I don't know, for lack of a better word, sadness to them too. Mm-hmm. That it takes men this to get them to take care of themselves or pay attention to that, or at least take it seriously. And that, you know, women are so inclined to not put themselves first or some of these things, and feel like even in a serious health condition situation that they're, you know, possibly wasting somebody's time. Like, there's mm-hmm. that makes me sad, those things for each sex and everything. At the same time, we're running a comedy show and trying to find my funny bone here a little bit. It's
not going to be found in the state of our healthcare system in this country.
No, that's the other part, man. That just really, because all of this also comes back to that of, well, look, I think that the majority of us would love to be able to go to the doctor for a lot of things, but we all, every single person listening can relate to the idea of, well, is it serious enough? Or is it something I can live with? We treat ourselves like our cars. You know, none of us are driving around in pristine vehicles, but we keep riding them. We keep driving, and we're going to drive. Like, how many times have you've heard somebody say, I'm going to drive it till it's off, you know, till the wheels fall off or whatever.
Yeah, drive it till it's really, really dead, because, I mean, we can't afford to not. But that's the same is true of ourselves, you know, and what do they say? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Yeah.
And it's true, but if you have to take time off work to go to the doctor, and you don't get paid for that time, and then when you go to the doctor, you get charged for the visit, which, and most of us can't afford to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a catch-22. It's like, well, I'm going to be more in debt for going to try to see this. If it's not serious, it's not worth it, because now I can't pay my rent.
And it doesn't make sense to any of us, except for the people that are collecting the money. It doesn't add up. But I want more of a list of this. I want a complete list. I want all the phrases. I want all of them, because I've spent a lot of time in ERs in my life, and we all don't do this, but we people watch. And you're seeing people in the ER, and there are so many times where I'm like, how did that happen? You can't help yourself. Your curiosity just, and you're not going to go and ask the person anything.
Because that would be rude.
But man, it'd be interesting to know. Some of these stories, some of these would be interesting to know. I feel like if
that's why doctor shows are so well loved.
Yeah.
I mean, House, come on. Who didn't like House?
Or
Monk. Monk was, well, that was a detective show, but
I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah, similar type of, how did that happen?
Chicago Hope, ER, yeah. There's been so many, St. Elmo's Fire, what am I thinking of? Back when I was a kid, there
Grey's
was another
Anatomy.
One. There's so many. It's one of those go-tos if you're a network. You almost have to have a good medical drama. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people were talking about The Pit, the Noah Wiley one on HBO. A lot of people like that one. So there's always I feel like no matter what the time, there's always going to be a medical drama, even mm-hmm. more than maybe a courtroom drama. There's always courtroom shows too.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those go-tos if you're a network.
Yes.
And understandable.
People getting hurt and people getting in trouble with the law.
I mean, yeah.
Why are we fascinated with those things?
It's a great question. That's a great question. We were thinking the same thing. Like, it's like, wait a minute. Yeah. One other story here I wanted to touch on, and this one has a bit of a local tie to it. You can go to goodnewsnetwork.org, check out the complete article and the pictures, because they go really perfectly with the story. While driving through rural Iowa at dusk, Kurt Massimilla and his family experienced a once-in-a-lifetime wildlife encounter, spotting not one, but two rare albino deer. The Dubuque area residents witnessed a rare incident, with some estimates placing the odds of seeing two gather together at 1 in 40 million. It's a 1 in 40 million chance of seeing two albino deer together, according to this article.
We all know that's not the case here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Right? Like, exactly. Like, how spoiled are we? I've been, I would say for at least going on 10 years now, where my parents live, we at least this time of year, and maybe even one or two other times a year, we'll see a family of albino deer. I've got, I will post on our Facebook page the most recent video I took of one, because I've, over these 10 years, I've seen them a lot. I never saw what I saw the other day, Melissa. I was walking my fur brother Sam. Boom, I look up, there's one of those deer. But it's looking at me. And, you know, trying to figure me out and everything. And I'm walking Sam in the front of the house. And across the street is our neighbors, who are great people. Shout out to them. And they've got a bird feeder up front in their front yard. Mm-hmm. This deer is walking and making a beeline for it. So I'm trying to film the deer, and my Jeep gets in the way. So there's a moment in the video where you miss the deer, and it's just my Jeep. And then all of a sudden, I get right back to the deer, and it's staring right at me. It's staring right at me. And then decides to just eat.
Filming me.
And then it just started eating food out of the bird feeder. Like it was nothing. Like
it decided you weren't a threat.
Yeah.
And the food was more interesting.
I just
can't blame it, really.
I don't know. I mean, as much time as I've spent out here and everything, I still have not gotten used to animals, wildlife animals. It's still incredible to me.
It is pretty neat when you can be close to them like that. I saw two albino deer on the road coming back from Rudolph into town just the other day. It's probably been like maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks.
Huh.
But yeah, within the last couple weeks, I saw two of them together.
Really?
So I guess we are just that lucky.
Yeah. Part of the reason I wanted to bring this up is that, for those that don't know, I think it's kind of interesting. The genetic mutation that causes albinism in deer results in a lack of pigmentation, making them stand out starkly against their surroundings, so it's illegal to hunt them in Iowa and in other U.S. states. That's a great law.
Please don't shoot our albino deer.
I would think if you were a hunter, you know, the honor in the game or whatever, you know, I don't know. I can't see a lot of honor in doing something like that.
And also just like the history of white animals being sacred.
Yes. Yeah. I would think that no matter what your creed or whatever, you get that. Like,
that's some bad juju there, buddy. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's just asking for bad karma. Right. Yeah. Estimates calculate that albinism occurs about once in every 300,000 deer births. Deer can also exhibit lechism, a condition that causes the lack of pigment, resulting in white patches or a fully white coat. So some albino just have patches of white, which is what we see in a lot of deer. I think Bambi was like that or something. Huh? Yeah.
Well, they look like that when they're babies because that's their spots, so they can blend in.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
But it happens then.
I didn't know that, but
When they're adults, I think it's leechism?
Yeah, that's the word I was trying to say. Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm saying it right either, but it is. Yeah.
Interesting.
Where patches go white.
Deer are cool.
That's
what I end with this.
As long
as they
stay out of the front of my car.
Yes,
or the side.
Yes.
Because I've been hit in both places.
We just need to get them to learn the law, the rules of the road. We just need to. We will take a time out. We'll come back. And we got five foods even chefs won't make from scratch. Coming up on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll take you right to the top of the hour and getting some entertainment news when we get in there. A little bit later in the 10 o'clock, we're getting into a fun one. This quick home test to check your brain health.
Mm.
Get into that in a little bit. This one's another, I think, interesting one. Five foods that even chefs won't make from scratch. Someone asked professional chefs to name things even even they buy pre-made. Making them yourself is either not worth the effort or homemade just isn't as good.
Mm, okay.
I thought that was that latter part was what stood out to me, I thought. Especially once I glanced over the list. I didn't dive into it or anything. I wanted to get into it with you, Melissa, but I did look at glance at some of these. And the first one on the list in particular, pasta. Yeah, fresh is better, but that much better if you're just trying to put dinner on the table, dried pasta is the way to go. If you have the time, and especially if it's just, you know, like I remember like for my papa's birthday, he would like always these weird foods like liver and onions or something like that. And you know, me and my nana didn't eat that. So my nana would usually make homemade pasta for those because it was just her and I. And that was to me, as a kid, it was fun. I enjoyed doing it. But we didn't make a lot and we had time. You know, they were retired. It was summer, you know, or you know, not summer, it was winter. But it was just, I don't know, I thought it was fun. But I was a kid. I haven't done it as an adult.
Well, and to make large amounts of it, I think if you had a big family, it would take a lot of effort. But I've always been fascinated by the idea of making my own pasta. I've never done it. But actually, lately, I've been watching videos of making rice. Based like rice flour pasta, which seems to be a lot easier than your regular, like, you know, the Italian style pastas. Yeah. So I might still try that. We'll see.
Salsa. Every grocery store has fresh salsa in the refrigerator aisle now, so find a brand you like and just go with it.
Always used to make salsa, though, and hers was so much better.
I've known a lot of people that make their own salsa, and yeah, that, it's unique. It's different. Mm-hmm. I've never had a bad one.
Well, there was the one year, the cilantro year. My mom, and we did, I don't think we ended up eating it. It was just a lot of cilantro in there. Yeah. I mean, it was like overload, even for people who like, because, you know, there's two factions, ones that like cilantro and ones that it tastes like soap.
Yep.
So, yeah, even those of us that liked it couldn't eat it.
I feel like avocados seem to be like that. Like, there's people that love them, and then there's people that, I don't want nothing to do with them. Like, ketchup. That's new to me. I it makes perfect sense, but I hadn't thought about people making their own ketchup. Not a lot of people do this, and there's a reason. The big brands nailed the recipe a long time ago, and we've even got quote natural and quote sugar free options now too. There are a billion types of ketchup or flavors of ketchup and everything. Did they nail the right recipe, or are we just so used to that recipe and what that flavor is?
Well, because if you try ketchup, like in say, for instance, London, you're going to be like, this isn't ketchup because it doesn't have the sugar.
Yeah.
We're used to like Heinz ketchup, which has a crap ton of sugar in it.
Yeah. Yeah, the other thing, the brewers have a special sauce they use. It's nothing like ketchup, but it is. So that makes me, and I love it. I love it. Anytime
sauces are amazing. Mm. They make everything better.
It's really good. It just makes me think that if you were to make your own ketchup, you could probably have some fun with it.
I would think you could. But that would be pretty labor intensive, I think, for. Yeah, I don't know.
It feels like that we're already three into this, and that's exactly where I'm coming
it's
back
the
to.
Time.
Yeah, it's the time.
It's the time. We don't have the time to make these things. Are you kidding?
Mayonnaise. There are few subject matters I know less about than mayonnaise. their point in the end of this is it worth the time? There's just not a great reason to be making your own condiments in 2025.
No, and then the other thing too, especially with something like mayonnaise, is safety. Because you don't have the ability to pasteurize your mayonnaise at home if you make it from scratch. And it is basically just, you know, eggs and oil.
Yeah, that feels like a big one. I wouldn't mess around. I'm not messing around with that one. No.
Well, especially right now.
Yeah.
With concerns about bird flu and the dialing back of protections and checks in our food system here in the United States, I would not eat a raw egg. Wouldn't do it.
And we wrap up with bread. If baking is something you enjoy, keep doing it. But if you're just trying to save some money, remember, time is worth your money, too. A lot of grocery stores sell fresh baked bread, or hit a bakery.
But that's also, like, you know, depends on how much preservatives you want. Because if you've ever baked your own bread, you realize how quickly fresh baked bread will mold.
Ooh, okay.
And if you even buy fresh baked bread from a grocery store, they still put a bunch of preservatives in it. So it lasts longer, which, I mean, understandable. They want their product to sell and still be usable.
Yeah.
But if you have a concern about putting those preservatives in your body, it's something to think about.
I love bread, so I want to make my own bread, but I don't. I've never even looked into it, so I don't even know where
to
begin.
You should just get a bread machine, James.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Because it is very simple, and all you have to you're still making your own bread, but the machine is doing the work for you.
And I feel like that's probably for society, that's probably the best way for me to do it. I don't know what disaster I could cause trying to make my own bread on my own, but I don't feel like we don't need to chance that.
I don't think you'd make a disaster. I think you would just you wouldn't have the time because you are so busy. Yeah. And bread making does require you to be attentive to the rising and the time and the temperature. I mean, there's a lot of factors in bread making.
I know it's not on the list, but you said that, and immediately I thought of, because I've really wanted to start making my own cookies and donuts and all that, and mm-hmm. it's not the ingredients or the money or any of it. It's time. It's the reason why I haven't even bought one ingredient. Is just, I think about it, I'm like, well, I buy the ingredients, and they got a shelf life, and I don't know if I'm going to make it before they run out, and I hate wasting food. I hate wasting mm-hmm. food, so I haven't even gotten into it yet, but.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's one to try. And you can find this complete list at foodandwine.com. Foodandwine.com.
And send us your list of what you buy versus what you make, because you just don't have the time, energy, or desire.
I think that would be a lot of fun to get into. Mm-hmm. That might even be a good Kitchens Open segment. I don't know. Yeah.
I bet it would.
She knows what she's doing. Beth mm-hmm. you don't need my help. She don't need my takes or anything.
Suggestions are always appreciated, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we could really use your help, though, with our Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue, everybody. This is a pet drive we're doing with our sister station, 105.5 WIRI. We're looking to help out our fur babies out there and our friends, our furry friends. Mm-hmm. Blankets and towels, dog, cat food, treats, toys, kennels and crates, garden hoses, cleaning supplies. Any one of these items can help out so much. We're doing this till the end of the month, and you can drop off items at From the Ground Up Coffee House at 250 West Grand Avenue here in Rapids. Also, Quality Foods, both locations at West Grand and Baker Drive, People State Bank and Point, Family Natural Foods in West Grand Avenue, Aligned Healthcare Chiropractic in Plover, Mission Coffee House in Plover, Junkyard Bar and Grill, Bow Wow Meow in Wisconsin Rapids.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, the WIRI and WFHR studios. Thank you so much to everybody who's already dropped off items. We'll see you when you drop off more. Mm-hmm. Melissa and I will be back with more show.
This is locally grown radio.